Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Kamen Rider Chronicles. I'm your host, Joe, and for this episode, I'm going to be talking about the next two episodes of Kamen Rider Ichigo, episodes 3 and 4. And man, I said it last time when I was covering the episodes 1 and 2. These classic ones are great. It's almost all practical with few exceptions. But just seeing it play out is amazing, and seeing what they could do with the costumes and all that is just fun. It's a lot of fun. So this first episode, the first one is called The Monster Scorpion Man. Yeah. So it starts out, we actually do learn a little bit more about Shocker in this first episode. Apparently Shocker was left over from Nazi Germany. Apparently they were old Nazi Germany scientists, and they did experiments for them. And apparently the experiments that they did was experimenting on people. And I guess testing would be part of experimenting. Yes, that's really how that works. And they would try and make humans and splice them with insect traits and animal traits. So now you know what we're going to be getting this whole show, this whole season. A bunch of Animal Man and Insect Men, which makes sense, because we had Spider Guy, we had a bat, this is Scorpion. Makes no sense for the next episode, because neither one of next episode is neither a insect nor a animal, but you know what? We'll get there when we get there. But that's what we get. We see the Shocker doctors working on somebody, and they are opening up this cocoon, and out pops the Scorpion Man. And then the great leader of Shocker, he declares to these slaves, we go next scene and it's a bunch of these slaves who are in this cage. He declares to these slaves that they are free to go, because they can't be, they're unable to become cyborgs, but they also are unable to become combat men or technicians. They have failed all of those tests to become any one of those parts of Shocker, so they basically are unusable. So the great leader has basically let them, he has kept them captive. But now he's releasing them, and he says that they'll be free, and he'll give them 10 minutes to get to the safe zone, which is across the desert area of where they're at. So everybody, all these people, start running across this open desert to get to this safety zone. Thing is, they don't know where the safety zone's at. This is literally just a ploy to, get these guys out there. It's literally just a test of the Scorpion Man and his man-eating scorpions. And the term man-eating scorpions is very loose here. So obviously the 10 minutes come and go. And of course, these people are not wanting to die. They're crying out. It's traumatic. But the man-eating scorpions pop up out of the sand, and they are literally just these plastic scorpion toys. And they're awesome. They like kind of like shake up from the sand, and then they're there. But then instead of, you know, again, they're called man-eating scorpions, but then they spray this, like, extremely acid liquid onto, from their stingers onto these people, which melts their bodies, dissolves and melts their bodies. So how they are man-eating, I don't know. But I guess that's what they call them. And then, I mean, again, this is where some of the special effects come in, because what they do is obviously they're not actually dissolving, but they change over the people to, like, these little sponge mannequins or whatever. And then they take that out, and then it's just blood that gets drained out. And actually, I think it's just a reverse shot. I think it's red liquid that gets pumped through the sand, and then it's just getting rewound. But because I definitely use that again later with some of these guys, but we'll get into that one later. But here's the thing, though. So there's a group of like, I don't know, 15 people. There is one old man. His name was Itaiso. What was his name? Ito. Sorry. And he was a little slower. Like while they were caught up, or while they were captured, he had already kind of fallen over. He was already at his, I don't say end of his rope, but he kind of was. And so when they were escaping, everybody else was ahead of him, and he was crying out for some help. No one was helping him, obviously, because everybody was out for their own self-preservation. And so Ito was trailing behind, and when everybody else was killed, he was left behind and was watching when everything was happening. We then go over to Takeshi Hongo and Toby Tachibana. And Takeshi is in his Kamen Rider form, and Tachibana is measuring his abilities and basically seeing what all he can do. What Takeshi is doing at the moment, he's basically hopping from like rock to rock and seeing how far he can jump, the distance he can go, like vertically, horizontally, and like every time he jumps, his belt, the pinwheel on his belt, activates to help give him, you know, a power boost. And then he's just, like I said, Tachibana is measuring it. And so when they are done testing, they go back to Tachibana's place and they start analyzing all the data. And they basically figure out that Takeshi already before had, you know, he was already pretty strong and pretty fast, but now he is, you know, he's got superhuman strength and superhuman speed because of him being a cyborg. And now knowing that every time the pinwheel on his belt spins, that's what gives him his abilities. And I think if I remember correctly, the shocker agents has told him that's what would happen in the first episode, or he figured it out within the first episode. So he's just now he's putting it together and telling Tachibana exactly what is going on. So while they're doing that, though, Rukio comes over and she asks, you know, she comes over, she tells them about this thing that happened on the radio about a bunch of bodies that popped up in the ocean and then disappeared. I don't know if it was related to the slaves from Shocker. I don't think it was, but they apparently put it together that it was with Shocker. Either way, it was a thing that Takeshi was like, I'm going to need to go investigate it. They're pretty certain Shocker is involved, so he's going to go investigate. Rukio wants to help because mainly she felt bad for blaming Takeshi for basically holding a grudge, for thinking that he killed her father. And he was like, no, you need to stay here. I don't think your father would want me to put you in danger. And she's like, no, I'm pretty sure my father would be okay with it. And he's like, he just ignores her, which is really just pretty bad. But he turns to Tachibana and is like, all right, I'm off. And then just goes. It's just like, wow, dude, way to just gaslight her. But okay, whatever. So he ends up going to this town. And as he is walking into the police department, he sees the old man, Ito, being drug out by a bunch of doctors. And he's basically saying, no, please don't take me away. Please don't take me away. I'll, you know, they'll hurt me. They'll kill me. And Takeshi's just like, what's that all about? As he walks up and sees his officer. And this cop is just like, oh, this old man, he's just being crazy. He says that this group named Shocker is out to get him. And, you know, the doctors came in and said he escaped from a mental institute. And Takeshi's just like, Shocker? Oh, okay. Oh, no. And he just, without even letting the cop finish, he just immediately hops back on his bike and just follows after the car. Because, sure enough, we pop into the car and those doctors, those people that picked him up, were combat men from Shocker. And they obviously are going to, I mean, this is all a trap. It was all to lure Kamen Rider out, lure Takeshi out. And this is something that the Scorpion Man had set up purposely. And so, of course, Kamen Rider is now following after. And this was another cool scene. He chases after them on the bike. And then he gets ahead of them. And when I say cool scene, I'm just like, oh, that's kind of cool. But, he forces them to stop. And then they do. And then we see him off in the distance. And he comes running at them. And they're all freaking out because they don't know where he's at. And so I laugh at this because they all the combat men get out of the car and they run out of the car and they run in front of it and they're looking for him. And they're like, oh, where is he? Where is he? Where is he at? Where is he at? And they all turn around and there he is on top of their car, just standing there. One thing I did find very interesting, though, is so there was a mixture of men and women that grabbed Ito from the police station. And even when they were revealing themselves in the car, it was a mixture of men and women. But when we get them here, it's just men. So I don't know why. I don't know what they're doing, but hey, you know what? It's 1970s. Actually, I don't. So I will say, in these four episodes, I don't think he has hit a woman yet. So I guess he's just not an equal opportunity hater of Shocker. But I don't know. Maybe, again, I'm only four episodes in, so maybe that'll come later. Maybe Rukio will be the one to punch out a female. Who knows? Anyway, so the combat men come running up to the car. He kind of kicks a couple of them off. A few do end up getting on top of the car. And we do get a kind of a battle here. Like, he just ends up throwing them off. But eventually we do get them just, like, fighting on top of the car, on the floor, or I'm sorry, on the ground. You know, all around the car, basically. And this is the beginning of a couple of scenes that I didn't like. And it's really just more of the camera work. Because there are moments where they're fighting. There's one point where they all circle up around Kamen Rider. There's six of them. They circle up around Kamen Rider, and then the camera just turns upside down. Just a complete 180 upside down. And then we're watching it upside down for like 5 seconds as the combat men are trying to attack, and Kamen Rider just dodges this entire time. And then it goes right back, you know, right side up. And then he rushes out of the way, goes and grabs Ito, and then he flies off into the air on top of a hill with Ito, and then disappears. He's out of there. He's got the old man Ito, and he takes him back to his house, maybe his apartment. I'm not entirely sure. He basically just gets him out of there. So, sometime later, we get Ito with back at his house with Takeshi, and Takeshi's keeping watch, keeping, you know, making sure everything is right. But in the shadows, we've got the Scorpion Man. He has found where Takeshi is, where Ito is, and he is preying on Takeshi. He's creeping up on him. He's got the building on here. Like he's at the building, and what we see is him like down the hallway, like just kind of crawling on the wall. I say crawling on the wall, but it's him just like put it, because he's got one claw hand and one hand, and so it's him crawling on the wall, and it's just hand and claw on the wall. And then all of a sudden, Takeshi hears a noise coming from the front door. So he shuts off the lights and opens up the door and grabs whoever was at the door. And then he yells for Ito to turn the lights on. And then he sees a old friend, Goru, so Goru Hayase, who is a rival of Takeshi, somebody who they race against each other constantly. They're friends, rivals, like they've always pushed themselves in the races. But like he's here because Rukio, who can't keep, you know, she apparently brought him with her. Tachibana told her to bring him, and they came to help. And so they showed up. Apparently, Rukio explained everything on the way, because when Shocker gets brought up, Hayase is just like, yeah, no, don't worry. We're totally not going to let Shocker hurt you, Mr. Ito. Which is also kind of funny, because then right at this moment, there are a couple scorpions that appear in the room. Apparently, they came in somewhere, and Takeshi registers them. They fall on the ground. Him and Hayase crush them, and then the two of them go to search the rest of the hallways. While Rukio keeps watch over the old man Ito. In the hallway, though, Hayase goes one way, Takeshi goes another. Takeshi ends up running into four combat women, I'll say. And this is why I said he doesn't hit women, because what he does, like they are standing on top of the stairs and they are in sync walking down. And then they all put out like their hand, and on at the edge of their hand are these, I'm assuming some like, I don't know, darts or something. Because it looks like they're trying to throw them. I don't know. Takeshi goes back around the corner and just like leaves. But then he gets ambushed by a bunch of combat men. So there's that. As for Ido and Rukio, there's a couple scorpions that come into the room through the window. I say a couple. There's actually a lot. And so they try to leave, but Ido, trying to protect Rukio, starts to crush a couple of them, but he ends up getting sprayed by one of the man-eating scorpions, and he ends up dying, melting, disappearing, getting killed. And then Rukio apparently gets kidnapped by some combat men. Takeshi hears Rukio screaming, and of course, kicks in the action. We get some more of the camera going upside down, which is another thing I didn't like. But he does take out these combat men, rushes in the room, sees Ido gone, sees Rukio gone, hears Hayase outside, and Hayase tells him, hey, they took Rukio, I'm gonna follow. And so Takeshi's like, okay, I'll be right there. So we get another chase scene. Takeshi catches up with Hayase while they are chasing down the car. The car ends up stopping at their base. Takeshi and Hayase stop off a little ways, and then they kind of run through some trees to the building, and they end up getting on top of the building. So they're trying to scope out where a good entry point is. But what ends up happening, though, is Hayase ends up falling through the roof, and he lands basically in front of a bunch of the combat men. Combat men. I was going to say minions, but because these are, I think, different people. I think there actually are a couple of the scientists at this point as well, because by this point, Rukio is strapped onto like a operating table, and these guys are demanding Hayase tell them where Takeshi is. And at that point, Takeshi then hops in, starts fighting a couple of them, tells Hayase to go and release Rukio while he takes care of these guys. And there's also a pit of the scorpions in the middle. So there's that. Because what happens here is Takeshi has one of the combat men like right up against the ledge, and he's like, you're just a minion. Where is your commander? And then all of a sudden he starts hearing this laughing. And he's looking around the room, and he sees Hayase. And sure enough, Hayase basically rips off his face and gets revealed to be the Scorpion Man. And so this is where I will have some questions, because if Hayase, well, if Rukia brought Hayase with her because Tachibana told her to bring him with her, why was the Scorpion Man being all creepy outside the building first? So things don't line up here. And that's kind of a problem. But also, it's the old trope of, oh, look, you introduced a new character that's not a main character. I wonder if they're going to be a bad guy, or I wonder if they're going to be something important to the plot, you know? So, there we go. Either way, I figured pretty early on that he was probably the Scorpion Man, and I was not disappointed. But yeah, so it obviously it is what it is. Takeshi is able to get Rukio off of the table, and they actually do escape. I think he's trying to plead with Hayase, like trying to appeal to his human side. But Hayase is like, no, I willingly gave myself over to Shocker because this was the only way that I could actually beat you. Like, you've been better at everything, and this is, I can finally prove that I'm the better man. I'm the better athlete. I'm the better, you know, everything. So yeah, I did this purposely. So he grabs Rukio. They jump back through the roof in the hole that Hayase fell through, and they get out, you know, back into the open. And then Takeshi tells Rukio to hide into like some of the bush area as he runs back down onto like this little beach area. This is when Scorpion Man and the Combat Men pop up again. One more time, Takeshi tries to appeal to Hayase, and Scorpion Man's like, nope, Hayase's dead. It's just me. And so then he's like, all right, fine. You give me no choice. He turns into the Kamen Rider. And then we get, we get a fight. This one is another interesting battle. Because we get a lot of moments where... So earlier we had when Kamen Rider was just standing and we had a bunch of guys like circle him. We get that again, only this time Scorpion Man's there, and they are all tumbling around him in a circle one way, and then they do it the opposite way. And I'm just like, what is this? And Kamen Rider literally was just standing there watching them. And then there was a moment where they are tumbling up a hill. Like, Kamen Rider is standing on top of the hill, and they are tumbling up a hill. And it's blatantly obvious that it was just them tumbling down, and they just reversed the footage. They did that twice. That was because they got up the hill, and then he jumped to a different one. They did it again. There was a moment where they all... The Combat Men made themselves into like a human pyramid, and Scorpion Man jumped on top of them and then jumped off to try and attack Kamen Rider. And Kamen Rider just like grabbed him and threw him across. And then the Combat Men themselves like scurried away and hid, like burrowed underneath the sand. And this scene was kind of fun, because then, like, at this point there's nobody around, everybody's gone, Scorpion Man as well, like he just disappeared. So Kamen Rider, what he does, he starts leaping from literally person to person. He starts doing a basically kind of like a Kamen Rider kick, and he is kneeing them, basically breaking their spinal cord underneath while they're in the ground, in the sand, because what happens is every time he lands, the Combat Men, like, they pop their head open and then they're dead. Because after he does it to literally all of them, we pop back over to them and we see their hats and then blood because he killed them. Eventually Scorpion Man pops back up. He tries to jump at him at Kamen Rider, and then Kamen Rider grabs him and throws him. Like, I think he does a Kamen Rider scissor. Like, Scorpion Man jumps at him, Kamen Rider jumps at Scorpion Man, take, like, basically what he calls a Kamen Rider scissors, and takes his legs and grabs him and does like a twist in the air and throws him against a rock, which ultimately kills him. And we see Scorpion Man dissolve, disappear, die, basically. Yeah. So, and that's the end of Scorpion Man. And we end the episode with Takeshi grabbing Rukio, and then they ride on home. Yeah. So that was that episode. So let's go ahead and get into the next episode, which is called The Man Eating Sarashnian. I think I said that one right. So this one, we start out, we see this brother and sister, the brother, he's, I don't know, 5, 6, little boy. And the girl, she is college age, has to be old enough because she's taking care of him, because we'll find out later that the parents are gone. But no, they are visiting the botanical gardens, and her name is Yuki, his name is Kenji, and she is having a bad time. She's bored, she doesn't want to be there, but Kenji apparently is having a really fun time. He's really likes to see the plants, he's having a blast. And they go to check out the King Sarashnia plant. And apparently that is a plant that is from North America. And while Yuki is looking at it, it transforms into a humanoid monster. Which this is what I was saying earlier, how this one apparently is part of Shocker, but it's not an insect or an animal, so I don't know. But it captures Yuki and then drags her underground with, you know, by the vines, and just takes her on the ground, and Kenji watches it happen, and it's very horrifying, honestly. So later on, we see Rukio and her friend Hiromi. They are walking, I think either gonna, they're walking to the botanical gardens. I think they're gonna go and enjoy it themselves. But they come across Kenji, who is wandering around crying, and he is doing, you know, I thought that the kid in The Mummy 2, Alex, I thought he did a bad job in his crying when what's his name was killed, his mom was killed. No, this kid was worse. But no, anyway, so he's crying because his sister is gone, and there Rukio is trying to figure out what's going on. But they apparently, the employees there were not taking him seriously when he said that a plant came to life and kidnapped his sister. They all thought he was joking. They all thought, oh no, your sister's fine, he's probably just wandered off or something, like you just probably just got separated. But he's sticking to the story. So Rukio is obviously convinced, so she brings him to Takeshi and Tachibana, and they hear his story, and they immediately think that Shocker's involved, because, you know, this is Kamen Rider, so of course they gotta think that. So Takeshi thinks, you know, he's wants to comfort the kid, and he basically tells him, hey, let's, you know, maybe your sister went back to their place. Oh yeah, and this is where Rukio asks where the mom is, and Kenji's like, she died. Ask where your dad is, he left. It's like, oh shit, okay. great, great. So basically, Yuki has been taking care of Kenji since forever. So Takeshi is like, okay, well, let's go back to your place, and maybe your sister went back there. Well, we can go check. So that's what they're going to do. But when they get there, they see that the apartment's empty. And Kenji starts crying again. To try and cheer him up, Takeshi declares that he is going to, you know, he promises that he's going to go find his sister. He's going to go find Yuki. He even goes so far as to, you know, grabs Kenji's hands to make this pledge. But, you know, because he is now changed, because he's a cyborg, this heartfelt confession actually ends badly, because he is, when he grabs his Kenji's hands, he ends up bruising his hands. And now that he hurt this kid, Takeshi is just, he's horrified, and so he leaves, he storms out, but Kenji rushes after him, and he's like, you know what, I'm going to give you my most treasured possession, which is this model airplane that he built, and he's like, I you promise that you'll find my sister, and I'll give you this. And so that's how much faith he has in Takeshi. And so Takeshi takes it, and he's like, okay, you know what? Thank you for this. I'm definitely going to find your sister. So he heads back to the Botanical Gardens to look for some clues. And while he's looking, though, you know, he can't find anything, obviously. But while he's looking, a Shocker goon shows up and attacks him. Now, this one isn't just, like, punching at him. This one actually has a knife and ends up damaging the airplane. Ends up cutting a wing completely off it. But it's one of those things that if that plane wasn't there, it might have been Takeshi's head. So, kind of a good thing that he had something to, you know, dodge a knife with. But, so, while the goon, obviously, the combat man, obviously runs away, Takeshi, you know, gives pursuit. And while he does that, he transforms into a Kamen Rider. And because when he's in his Kamen Rider form, he's got a little bit more strength, a little bit more speed, he catches up to these guys super quick. Because by this point, this guy has met up with his friends, and it becomes a full-out brawl. I think at one point, there's a scene here where, and I don't know if it's just because of the nature of it looks cool, but we've had a lot of scenes so far where Kamen Rider is on top of a higher ground scene. And I know that he does. There is a Kamen Rider pose that, and it's a very iconic pose that is, I know, is still kind of recognizable to this day. I'll say it's almost like a dab. I'm trying to like do it here to try and describe it. It's almost like a dab. But like, you're not actually putting your head down. If you'd see it, you'd recognize it. I think if you know Kamen Rider, you see it, you recognize it. Basically the right arm, the hand is still extended, but it's going across your chest, while the left arm is like punching extended out. So it's kind of, they're basically crossing, the right arm is going up while the left arm is going down. It's kind of like extending like that. But it's a lot of that posing, and that's just the iconic Kamen Rider pose. Because I think it's it could be the left arm up and the right arm down. I'm not entirely sure, but it's basically that. One arm is going up in the air, the other one's going down, and it's just like it's like a little fighting pose. But there's a lot of that, and this scene in particular does that as well. But he does that, and then a bunch of the Shocker combat men come running up to him and fighting him. This one, though, I was laughing because while he's doing this, he's tossing them down this hill. And I am almost positive that when he threw one down, he threw the second one down in the exact same spot. And I'm guaranteed the second one hit that first one, like landed on top of that first one. If you guys listen to our Rundown Reviews episodes, we just started doing a segment where we call Die, Stuntman, Die. And this, I mean, they didn't die, obviously, but this definitely would be a mark in that category where these stuntmen definitely got injured because the one just got thrown on top of the other. So, that's what it looked like to me. But, I mean, the other thing is that they were thrown down and there was like a dune there, so they got thrown into like this little crevice. And one came up, but the other one didn't. So that's why I kind of figure that they got thrown on top of the other. But either way, at the end of it all, though, Takeshi Kamen Rider was able to capture one of them. And he brings him back to the apartment for an interrogation. So we get back to the Seresnia, his base, his underground base, and we see that Yuki, she wakes up, and she apparently has been selected to be converted into a cyborg. And she watches on as they are testing one of basically somebody else to see if they are able to become a cyborg. And I guess their test is they run 50,000 volts of electricity through the body. And if they can handle that, then that means that their first step of conversion therapy, I'm using air quotes for the therapy, is successful. So then they can become cyborgs. Because then if you remember, the second step is the brain therapy where they erase their memories and then they can control their mind. They do that. They do the electric therapy, or conversion therapy or whatever. But then the leader says to up it to 100,000 volts, and they do, and then this guy dies. So I don't know why they did that. So I don't know. But they get rid of that body, and then they turn to Yuki and tells her, like, all right, well, you're up next, and we're gonna test you at noon. And apparently it's 10 o'clock right now. And I'm like, why are you waiting 2 hours? Do you need to reset the calibrations or something? Like, why? Oh, wait, plot reasons. Gotcha. You need time for Kamen Rider to come find you. Okay, that makes sense. But yeah, because what happens here is the plant monster hears tale that because the other soldiers come back and they inform him that one of their ranks, one of the goons, got captured. And so he is told by the leader that he needs to take care of that soldier. And so sure enough, he goes and leaves, and that's what he's going to go do. Now, the other thing is, is there are times where the combat men are actually talking, like actually saying words. But then there are times where they are talking like the aliens from Mars Attacks, where it's just like clicks and noises. And it took me, because that's also what the plant monster is talking like. He doesn't say a word. He's just doing those clicks. And it took me forever to realize where I was hearing that from, like which, where I could compare it to. But once I finally did, I'm like, yep, that's where it is. That's where I'm coming from. So if you want to know what these guys sound like when they're talking, think of dot, 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 from Mars Attacks. Think of that. But anyway, so yeah, so what ends up happening is, you know, Takeshi takes him back to the apartment, and he's interrogating this guy, and he actually does get the location. And naturally, he asks Rukio and Hiromi to watch over this guy while also watching over Kenji. And then he goes to check out the base. And when he gets there, it actually comes up to be about noon and 12 o'clock, basically right on time for Yuki to be, like, she's strapped into the table. She's about ready to be, like, the button is literally about ready to be pushed. The guy has his finger right there, and then an alarm goes off. Well, it sounds like an alarm's going off. What it really is Takeshi has found the location, but he's unsure of where exactly. And so he is on top of another hill, and he's just revving his motorcycle. And what ends up happening here is a bunch of combat men come running out of the entrance, and he's like, all right, there it is. Got it. And there he goes. He drives down there, kind of beats him, like, kind of takes the motorcycle and whips them around them and kind of runs over a few of them, and then drives the motorcycle into the base and then starts kicking butt in the base. Eventually he does, I can't remember if he turns into Kamarada or not to release Yuki, but I don't think he does. I don't think he does. But he does actually, he rescues Yuki after taking out all of these guys. And then, yeah. So then they're going to make their way back to Kenji and everybody. But speaking of, back at the apartment, while everybody is waiting, Rukio is looking at the combat men, and all of a sudden she sees something outside, and when she looks, there's nothing there. But then she hears Hiromi and Kenji screaming. She goes check on them, and they're like, there's some plant creature outside. And when she goes to look, she doesn't see anything. But then she hears something in the living room, and sure enough, there is Thrasnia in there capturing the combat man, and then literally squeezing him dry. Like this thing just, I don't know, devours him, eats him up. I don't know. Basically, just what we see is him taking the vines and squeezing him, and then all of a sudden, all the clothes just drop to the ground. So the combat man is gone. And then he goes and attacks Rukio, and I think he gets the hold of Rukio and Kenji. I believe it was Kenji. And starts to pull them in, but then Kamen Rider shows up. And this fight isn't really a fight. Not really much here. The the plant monster doesn't really stand a chance. I think at one point, Kamen Rider grabs like a whip from the plant monster and uses it against him, but ultimately just uses Kamen Rider kick to finish him off and just destroys him. And yeah, it's a very quick fight. But yeah, he saves everybody. He even goes so far as to like rub Kenji on top of the head, like gives him a little pat on the head. And then he runs off in one direction. And then come up the other direction is Takeshi and Yuki. And it's like, hey, yeah, you did a good job. And then there's at one point where Takeshi like gives Kenji a pat on the head, and he's like, man, you have the same pat that Kamen Rider does. And he's like, I'm sorry, what? I'm not Kamen Rider. Kamen Rider's cool. Yeah, totally. Like, can you be any more obvious, dude? Stop it. But no, it was fun. It was a good episode. Well, it was a fine episode. These two episodes were okay. Let's put it that way. I didn't like the camera work in the first episode. A lot of the upside down thing was just bugged the piss out of me. And this episode was, the clicking was annoying, but like, this episode was definitely better than the first episode I covered. But no, all in all, they're fine. I'm still enjoying the show. So we've got, I mean, I better. There's still got like 90 plus episodes for this season. So, yeah. That being said, though, that's all I have for now. Thank you all for listening. If you want to go and, follow us on the social media, you can check us out at Comic Book Rundown on all the socials. You can email us, comicbookrundown@gmail.com. You can rate and review us on your podcasting app of choice. If you do, I'll read it on an upcoming episode. If you'd like to come onto the show and talk Kamen Rider with me, I would love that. Hit me up on social media, on email. Let me know. I would love to have guests on here. But other than that, I think that's it for now. Go ahead and check out all of the other episodes on this network. I guess Comic Book Rundown is kind of a network now. With Rundown Reviews every Friday, with Comic Book Rundown itself the last Saturday of the month, with Getting Franchised the last Sunday of the month. So thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next time.